Now, before we stand and read, again, these verses in Romans 14, they are some really tough scriptures to get our minds wrapped around. And if you hear my remarks, and you know this from hearing me preach for years, you know the context, but I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm not indicating that I've made a change and a change is coming. I don't have an axe to grind. I'm simply trying to exposit the truth of these verses that the Holy Spirit has included in Scripture for our well-being, for our growth, and for our pleasing God in our walk. And when we mention things today, I'm not talking about the standard of the church. I'm not talking about church leadership standard. I'm talking about how Paul has instructed us to respond to others in our midst and around us that see things differently as far as serving God is concerned. Some may say, well, these verses are just about eating meats, different kinds of meats. They're about just worshiping on different Jewish holidays, so they have nothing to do with us. I would beg to differ. If they didn't have anything to do with us, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have ensured that they were a part of our Scripture. And so by the very fact, the virtue that they're in the Bible, I believe they have something to say to us about our life and our living. And one more little qualification this morning. Amen. When we deal with these issues we'll deal with today, we're not talking about what the Scripture clearly states. The Scripture is clear on many things. For example, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lying, cheating, all of these things. We're not talking about those. Those are clear cut, clearly defined precepts of the Word. We're talking about the discussion about how do you apply this verse or that verse, and what are our personal convictions going to be in living for God. The things that are clear cut are not open for negotiation, debate, or discussion. They're just what the Bible says they are. Can you say amen? With that in mind, we'll just read two verses now and others later. But if you'd stand for the reading of the Word, Romans chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse 17. And Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it? The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Whoo, hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not just a bunch of laws and rules about different rituals and different traditions and different hoops to jump through. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, "For he that in these things serveth Christ," in what things? "In righteousness and peace and joy, he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God." Who wants to be acceptable to God? Not only is he acceptable to God, he is approved of men. That doesn't mean everybody approves of the choice he made of his faith, but it means when they look at his life, they can find no fault with him, because it's not about him, it's about serving the King in righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whether we have righteousness, joy, and peace or not is inseparably linked to our faithfully living for Christ in the power of the Spirit. And two qualifications: we live in the power of the Spirit as we see ought, and without being critical of another Christian and how he's living. If we'll live in the power of the Spirit, we will have faith, we will have peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. I want to preach this morning on how to have it and keep it. How to have it and keep it. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you want the real thing? Hallelujah. The Bible thing. The Scripture thing. How to have it and to keep it. Heavenly Father, may the same Spirit that anointed Paul to pen these words, May that Holy Spirit be with me. Make my mind come alive to the truth you'd have me share. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, anoint ears to hear. And may, Lord, when we leave this service, we have drawn closer to you from having heard your word. Now, Lord, help us shut up our hearts in this place. Amen. Shut out everything and every distraction. And Lord, shut up our hearts to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to start right in the middle of the passage back with verse 17 on how to have and keep it. Verse 17 is where I want to begin. Now, some time back, I was doing people watching. It's probably at the mall or someplace my wife was shopping. I'm not a shopper, so what else is there to do? I watch people. Now, you got to keep in mind when you watch people, sometimes you is the person, the people that others are watching. Have you ever thought about, well, I watch people. Who do you think they're looking at? And I was watching people, and I saw this group of people coming towards me, and oh, they look so depressed. They look so discouraged. Sour. That's the word that came out. They looked sour. In fact, Brother Rose, a few of them even looked a bit mean. And I begin to think, those poor folks, they've all caught the same thing. They've all come down with this. They're sick. They're ill. Poor folks. And then I got to looking, not at their face, but at the rest of them, and I said, you know, they look like they're folks that believe in a lot of the same things that I believe in. And then it occurred to me, Sister Christman, they're not sick. They got religion. That's what happened to them. And then I was around another group, and you couldn't tell any different from their lifestyle choices from the world. They lived the same way. They acted the same way. They watched the same movies. They dressed the same way. And they would look at me and say, we're Christians. And as I looked at both extremes of that spectrum some time back, you've heard me say this a lot, I began to ask myself the question, what does true Christianity really look like? What does pleasing the Lord and serving Christ really look like? Now, I know theologically, I know what a Christian life is theologically, but I wanted a picture of it. And so I began to search the New Testament all over again and read through the New Testament and many clues along the way and many things that spoke to me. But this week, when I read Romans 14, verse 17, it leaped out at me as a picture of what being a Christian really is. This verse just jumped out at me about what serving Christ really is. Here it is. Here's the picture of the Christian life. The kingdom of God. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the Christian life right there. There it is in a capsule. There it is in a nutshell. And oh, that's what I want in my life. It's the kingdom of God, make no doubt about it. This thing is about His being king and my being His obedient subject. This is about His being Lord and I being His faithful servant. This is about He being master and I being His slave that does every whim of His. But I'm telling you, to have a king, that's not about depression. To have a king and obey Him, that's not grievous. That's not hard. To have a king over my life, to have a Lord ruling my life, that's not a grievous thing. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, first of all, you can't have, truly have any of these three without the Holy Ghost. And right here, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, on your soul, in your mind, in your emotions, and in your will. In fact, I just want to put it this way. You can claim it's righteousness, but if it hasn't been produced by the Holy Ghost, it's not the real righteousness. You may have man righteousness. You may have religion righteousness. But if it's not the righteousness that comes about by the moving and the working of the Holy Ghost on your mind, it's not the real righteousness. You can claim to have joy. You can claim to have peace. But if it's not the joy and peace that is a product of the Holy Ghost, then it's not the real peace and the real joy. But oh, I'm telling you, you can't, I can't have righteousness. We can't have peace and we can't have joy because there is a Holy Spirit and He moves upon people and He changes their way of thinking and He changes their way of looking at things and He changes their way of feeling about things and He just changes their heart inside and out. I'm telling you, because of the Holy Ghost, there is a true righteousness, there is a true joy, and there is a true peace. Hallelujah. Something else I see, all three go together. Sister Debbie, if I claim to have righteousness and I'm sour and I'm always depressed and I'm always maybe a little mean, I can claim to have righteousness all day long. But if I don't have the joy and the peace that goes with it, I ain't got the real righteousness. I'm not talking about not living right. I'm talking about being right. But when you're really right, when you get the right where God makes you right, oh, hallelujah, you're not discouraged. You've got a joy and a peace that comes with it. Brother Brock, you don't get the one without the other. You really get the righteousness of Christ in your heart. You're going to be joyful. Hallelujah. You're going to have peace with God and man. And then I'll tell you something else. You can claim to have joy. You can say, I'm saved and I just got all kinds of joy. But if there's no righteousness of the Holy Ghost in your life, there's not something in your heart that wants to live for Jesus and shun the world and overcome sin. You can claim joy all day long. You can giggle and you can laugh. Amen. But if that joy does not come with righteousness, it's not the real thing. Oh, but because of the Holy Ghost, because it's not religion, it's the Holy Spirit, you can have all three together. You can have righteousness and with it you can have peace and joy, and you can have joy and with it you'll have righteousness by the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody shout glory this morning. Only through God, amen, by His Spirit in our lives can our hearts be set right. Yes, I cooperate. I submit. I yield. I follow. But it's the Holy Spirit in my life that does the work and produces these things. Oh, hallelujah. To go to either extreme in our Christian life will take the joy and peace and true righteousness out of serving God. Even the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. If I make serving God all about rules, I know you got to have them for different things in different places. But if I make the kingdom of God all about rules, as my brother and I were discussing before church, it's all about, can I work my way through a checklist and please that church, please that camp meeting? If you'll make the kingdom of God about that, you'll never have joy and you'll never have peace. On the other hand, if you say, well, the kingdom of God is just a good time, the kingdom of God is just a party, amen, you can be a Christian and live like the world, have the same lifestyle. If you don't have the righteousness, amen, you're not going to have the joy and peace either. It's not one extreme or the other. It's having all of it. Hallelujah. And all of it together. And all of it not because you got religion, not because you went through the checklist, not because you conformed to the group, but you got it because the Holy Ghost has been at work and His divine Spirit has influenced everything about you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we living in the kingdom? Are we really in the kingdom? If we do not have these three, can I really have the righteousness that God has for me if I do not have the peace and joy? Can I really have the peace and joy if I don't have the righteousness? I got to move on. But whether I'm a strict conservative or a loose liberal, the question is this: am I serving Jesus?
Am I bowing my knee to the King? Am I serving Jesus and serving Him with peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? Look at verse 18. For He in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If I serve Him in righteousness, I serve Christ in joy, I serve Christ with peace with God and man, that's what's acceptable to God. Hallelujah. Enough of trying to be acceptable, amen, to a certain group. I'm not talking about not following your leaders. You need to understand this. I'm talking about doing something just because of the pressure. Enough of that. What our desire should be is I want to be acceptable to God, and He sent the Holy Spirit, amen, to help me be acceptable with God. I want you to notice in back in verse 17 for just a second. It said the kingdom of God is not, but it is this. In the rest of these verses, I've laid the foundation. We're going to move quickly through the rest. But I want to follow the pattern. It's not this, but it is this. I'm preaching on how to have it and how to keep it. In this context, Paul said how to have it and how to keep it. In verse 13, number one is by not judging, but staying out of the way. Not judging, but staying out of the way. Verse 13, let us therefore not judge. Want to hold on right here. We got a bunch of people that go around, they love to say, if you condemn a certain lifestyle on the basis of the Word of God, they'll say, oh, Jesus said, don't judge. Yeah, He did. But He also said, you don't judge till you get the telephone pole out of your eye, and then you'll be able to help the brother get the splinter out of his. He said that you need to know their fruits, because by their fruits you shall know them. Paul said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. So Brother Brock, when Jesus said don't judge, it's talking about setting yourself up as jury, judge, and executioner and passing sentence and marking off who's good and who's bad and who's deserving of eternal life and who's not and who's going to make it and who's not. We got to judge. By this, we're talking about being able to discriminate. Now, let's say that tonight you and your family are asleep and you hear a rattling at the window and you look out and there's a guy dressed in all dark clothing and he's got a screwdriver and he's trying to pry up your window. And you go back to bed and say, honey, no need to worry. Well, isn't somebody out? Yeah, yeah. Well, doesn't that sound bad? Yeah, yeah, but we're not to judge. I mean, he's probably out there having prayer meeting outside our window at 2 in the morning. You know, we don't. That'd be silly. Someone comes into church. We don't check out their background. We hear a rumor that they've been arrested for child molestation. We need a position in the primary Sunday school class. So someone says, oh, they could really teach. Well, you know, I've heard some things we need. Oh, don't check those things out. Jesus said, don't judge. Just go ahead and put them in the primary. That's silly. It's not talking about being able to tell right and wrong and discern good. It's talking about setting ourselves up as in a higher position so where then we say, we judge, you are a good person, you are a bad, you're going to go to heaven, you're not. Amen. The only kind of discriminations we can make on those terms is by the Word of God. Whosoever serves Him, believes the Lord. Amen. But we have to make evaluations. But Paul is talking about setting yourself up as jury. An executioner, not judging, but staying out of the way. Let us not therefore judge one another, but judge this rather. See, there is the judging, that no man put a stumbling block. That means something that will trip you up, or an occasion. The Greek word is scandal, which meant snare or trap, to fall, occasion to fall in his brother's way. Amen. If you'll stay with us on this, amen, with the help of God, there'll be some help come out of this. First of all, if you want to have righteousness, peace, and joy, don't be bugged by what you see is wrong with others. Maybe you'll be burdened to pray for them, but you don't let it get under your skin. You don't let it bug you. Don't decide what is right for another person. Again, we're not talking about the precepts. We're talking about all these other things. Don't set yourself in the position you're trying to decide what is right for every person. Don't get in the
their way of serving God. Amen. Don't judge. Amen. In that sense, because if you're always trying to find something wrong with others, number one, you will find it. And if you're always looking for wrong in other people's life, you won't be able to serve God, because you'll be aggravated and upset and irritated all the time. If I go around looking what's wrong in my brother's life all the time, number one, I'll find it. Number two, I will live, Sister Rose, in a continual state of aggravation and irritation and being upset about people all the time. But even, and let me just reemphasize this, if I am critical of how others serve God, I'll never know the true peace and joy in serving Him, because I'll always be stirred up about what I see is wrong in somebody else. Hallelujah. And then Paul takes it a step further. Amen. Well, I'm gonna nail that nail just one more time. Critical Christians. And again, I hope I have qualified this enough. But critical Christians are never joyful Christians. Is that right? Critical Christians are never joyful Christians. Some are upset because they really think what the other person's doing wrong. They just know God talked to them about not doing it. And they're upset because the other person's doing it, getting to do it, and they can't. Have you ever seen that with your children? And then Paul says, don't judge them, but make sure you don't cause them to stumble. Don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall. You know, in this place, the one that was being attacked was the Jew that felt like he had to have all these special meat laws and special days to worship in. And Paul says to the Gentile, quit harassing the Jew by telling him he's wrong about not being able to eat a certain meat. And you as a Gentile, you continually are telling him he's okay to eat that meat when he feels like he's not okay. So back off. Don't be a stumbling block. But it could be, on the other hand, some Jew is trying to get the Gentile not to eat pork just because he felt it was wrong to eat pork. The point is, if you get in that kind of battle and debate, trying to convince and run down the other person for their belief, if you continually criticize another for their beliefs, it will not persuade them to your point of view. It will only frustrate them, anger them, confuse them, and very possibly, Paul said, cause them to stumble. Amen. What if they discovered, first of all, what you had said about them? They may be wrong. Brother Mark may be wrong. But if I go around to Brother Lee criticizing the way Mark is living, how's that going to help Mark? As soon as he hears what I've been saying about him, it's going to cause him to stumble in his Christian walk. Don't leave now. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, we can't have it that way. We can't have the real thing. We'll cause our brother to stumble. Amen. What they do may smack of being less than holy. What they do may seem like a violation of what God has spoken to my heart. But if I'm critical about them, I gossip about them, I exclude them from my fellowship, that will only reinforce to them what they do and will never persuade them to change. I remember one time at a camp meeting, and the preacher was preaching exactly what I personally believe. But as he preached it, he was attacking the people that were not doing that. And the longer he preached, brother Steve, the more angry I was getting with the preacher at the way he is treating those folks. And I believe what he was preaching. He's a calling them names. He was talking about how so horrible. And I thought to myself, are you trying to help them or hurt them? Are you trying to persuade them to your point of view? Or are you trying to drive them off? I watched him get up and leave in the middle of the sermon crushed. Why? It wasn't the truth that crushed them. It wasn't the scripture from the Word of God. It was the attitude. I found something wrong, and I'm going to press on it, and I'm going to pick at it, and I'm going to
let them know how wrong I think they are and how miserable I think they are. Amen. I'm telling you, that will be a stumbling block to this day to those people that heard him preach. But I want you to really notice this in this verse. Amen. Look what it says at the end of the verse. Be careful not to put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Hallelujah. I already believe a certain way. I've already got Brother Mark crossed off my list. I say he's not worth fellowshipping with. I say that he's not even a true Christian. But Paul said, what are you thinking about? You've got a strong disagreement. You believe one thing, he believes another on a non-essential thing. You've got a strong disagreement. But look what Paul said. He's still your brother. He's still your brother. These Jews and Gentiles were going at it. The Jews felt they were more righteous, and the Gentiles thought the Jews had missed it on the gospel, and they were got the boxing gloves on. And again, it's a non-essential, but they were fighting over it. And Paul said, you're ready to split the church. You're ready to divide, but he is still your brother. Don't judge, just stay out of their way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't make him feel like there's nothing to what God has spoken. You see, there's always the two ends of spectrums. Number one, I don't put the burden of what God has spoke to me. I don't put that upon Brother Mark. But number two, Brother Mark doesn't make me feel like if God's spoken to something to my heart, he doesn't try to make me feel like I don't do it, need to do it, because he don't do it. If God has spoken it to my heart, amen, I'm going to do it. And Brother Mark better not try to get me not to do it. Hallelujah. He may not be doing it, but he shouldn't be trying to get me not to. Amen. Neither one of us are trying to be a stumbling block. Both of us are saying we are brothers. And what we want here is the true righteousness and the joy and the peace. I'm telling you, we get to criticize and you'll jerk the Holy Spirit right out of it. Preach the truth. Live the truth. Amen. Seek righteousness, joy, and peace. And let the Holy Ghost get to working in people's heart. And he'll make the changes. Praise the name of the Lord. Whichever side of the spectrum I find myself on, I ought to think of others making it further down the road and encouraging them rather than doing things and saying things that would cause them to stumble. On the other side of the spectrum, you may feel like it's okay with you. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. I know it may seem bogged down a little bit right here, because these are tough things to work our way through. But I've seen some young person get saved from out of sin. When they got saved, they was trying to sever their ties with the music of the world and the ways of the world and the movies of the world. But they'd get around Christian youth. And the Christian youth that had been in church for years would tell them they were silly to think that you couldn't listen to that kind of music. And silly to think that you couldn't watch that kind of dirty movie and not make it. And hear this new Christian went ahead with the Christians and stumbled over that and lost out with God because a Christian told him it was okay to do it. See, that's the other side of the spectrum. The goal is, however I do it, however I disagree, I refuse to be a stumbling block of their faith. That's having it. That's having the real thing. Amen. Look at verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. If you disagree with them, if you feel like they're wrong, pray that Jesus will persuade them just like he persuaded you. And by the way, we preached this last week from Paul. But that is the end of the matter for however you believe. Can you honestly say what you believe it because you've been persuaded by Jesus. You have investigated the book. You have sought for the evidence. And you're doing it, Brother Rose, because Jesus has persuaded you. How many knows it makes a difference when the Lord has done the persuading? It's not been the group. Amen. It has been the Lord who has persuaded you. I know God uses churches. He uses leaders. He uses groups. He uses youth camps. But the bottom line is, I know this because the Lord has persuaded me. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I know it. Whatever I believe, it should be a belief of the persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. The remainder of the verse says that there's nothing unclean. That doesn't mean evil, inherently evil. It means the word is common. It's talking about the meats, non-spiritual. There is nothing non-spiritual of itself, but he that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Amen. Even there's a certain thing, I may think it's silly, that Brother Norvell thinks there's nothing wrong with it, or thinks there's something wrong with it, and I try to say, now listen, Brother Norvell, amen, don't let that bother you. There's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm in the wrong, especially if he's been persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am being a stumbling block. You can say meat is just meat, but not to those who feel like it's contaminated by being offered to idols. To them it's unclean. I need to leave them alone to live what they feel like God is speaking to their hearts. There's two keys in this verse. Number one, persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then midway through the verse, but to him that esteem anything to be unclean. Oh, I'm trying to lead our young people in our church with the precepts of God's word. Oh, but what I really want is for you not to get it just because the church does it, and to get it just because the preacher. Oh, but to him, you get it for yourself. Look at the individualized singular. Him, he got it for himself. I'm persuaded by the Lord. Oh, believe what you're going to believe, but believe it because you got it for yourself, and you're persuaded from the book. It's what the Lord desires of you. Amen. We're not talking about people trying to masquerade as being spiritual to justify their ungodly living, hide behind the don't judge thing so they can live in violation of the Word of God. We're talking about folks who are genuinely trying to serve Christ, who honestly believe what they believe. I told my wife many times, on one side of the spectrum, there are those that have tried to get me to conform. I mentioned it last week. I've even had committee members on camp meeting boards have come to me and said, you know, if you just quit doing that, we've talked about it, we'd like to have you come and preach our camp meeting if you just quit doing that. Now, if I had been asked to do that and knew that that was their feeling, then I would have, one of the things was a wedding ring. Amen. Well, if they'd went ahead and asked me, amen, I'd been real sensitive to that. But I've told my wife, I said, look, my conscience is tied to this book, and I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to seek it from cover to cover. But I feel like it would be wrong for me to simply to conform to something. Amen. Simply because they wanted me to, and I've never been persuaded from your word. How many knows what we're going to be judged by in the ultimate day? What are we going to be judged by? It won't be that camp meeting board. It's going to be the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe, but don't wipe your brow and say, woo, that's better. It might be easier to be judged by a camp meeting board than it is the Word of God. And if I'm left to myself, I'm in trouble. I'll never make it. But I'm not left to myself, because there is a Holy Spirit who can work in me as I read the book he wrote. And as he works in me, he begins to produce the real righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, if you think I'm trying to legalize anything, whitewash anything, you're wrong. I'm just saying, let's get it for the right reason. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost gets to moving, that's nothing but the voice of Jesus, and you get it for yourself, and you can say, I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Secondly, by not hurting but loving. I can have and keep it. Righteousness, peace, and joy by not hurting but loving. Amen. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. It's not talking about the Jew didn't believe and not eating pork. I never ate pork again. It means I don't sit across from him at the diner and I order that pork chop, and the whole time I'm eating it, I'm looking at him saying, you could be eating this too. That's a silly belief you have that you can't eat pork. Boy, this is the best meat I've ever had. Amen. You're silly. That's ignorant to believe, being a Christian, you can't even. Amen. I am offending him. I am hurting him. Look at verse 15. Thy brothers grieve with thy meat. You're not walking in love if you try to rub it in his face. Destroy him not with thy meat. Paul said in another scripture, if eating meat offend my brother, I'll never eat it again as long as the world stands. You see what's important here? Amen. The important thing isn't proving I am right. The important thing is walking in love. And I'm not talking about that mushy love that tolerates sin and tolerates violation of God's word. I'm talking about a love that says, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I'm not here to rub it in that you're wrong. I'm not here to prove that I'm right and you're way down here wrong. I'm here to walk with this ray with you. I'm here to walk it with you in love. Amen. We may prove we're right, but if there's not love in it, are we right? Paul said, speaking the truth in love. Amen. Don't rub in the difference. I remember years ago in a Sunday school class I sat in, it was the same man that put cotton in his ears when I got up to preach. That hadn't bothered me. I got over that years ago, that man that put cotton in his ears every time I got to preach. I mean, that's past. We were sitting in Sunday school class, and I was sitting behind him. And this woman walked in that it was evident she didn't believe just like we believe. She prayed when we prayed. She got her Bible out. She'd follow along with the lesson. But the lesson, whether it had to do with this or not, didn't matter. This man's putting cotton in the ear of me. He's sitting in front of me. He said, I'll tell you what. If a woman's really a Christian, I mean, if she's really a Christian, she won't wear this, she won't do that, she won't fix her hair this way. And he went down a long list. Okay. I'm not justifying anything on his list. What I'm telling you is when he got through, he had to turn clear around and look three pews back and looked at that later. And he said, Mr. Cotton in the ears. How many thinks that was walking charitably? Look how Paul finishes this. He said, that person, you're easily excluding and criticizing and run down, that someone for whom Christ died. I won't even call him my brother. And Jesus died. It said, thy brother is grieved with thy meat. That doesn't mean it bugs him, he's aggravated by it. It means it's bothering his walk with God. It's confusing his faith in Christ. And I want you to note one more time here. Amen. It says in the very first of this, I disagree with him, but what does Paul say? Thy brother. We may disagree, but they're not our enemy. They're our brother. Brother. They're our brother. Amen. I mean, again, young people, you're back to that newly saved young person. Get in the car and you play the same kind of music and those that they've heard in the world, and they'll say, oh, I wish you'd turn that off. And that bothers me. I listen to that when I'm not saying our young people do this, as an example of young people. I listened to that when I did drugs. I listened to that at the parties I went to. Would you turn off? And the Christian young person says, oh, that's silly for anybody to tell you can't listen to that music. You need to almost break your hand getting to that radio knob and turning that off just to think it could cause your brother to stumble and be destroyed. Christ died for them. I don't want anyone to lose out with Christ for whom he died. Amen. Before I'm critical of another, I need to remember that Christ loved him enough to die for him, and I need to love him just as well. And then, amen, have it and keep it. I need to not be wrong in attitude, though I'm right, but right in attitude when I'm right. I remember years ago from driver's ed, when they used to have it in public school, that little driver's ed, and it has been years ago now, about 35 years ago.
We had driver's ed back. It wasn't buggy. It was cars. And you know what he would say over and over? You can be right, but you can be dead right. Talking about being at intersection. It's my turn to go. Well, if they're not stopping, you can protest, I'm right. But there's still destruction. Listen, we can be right. I've said many times to our leader, but still be wrong. For our attitude, the way we present ourselves. I heard a preacher look at a sinner woman. She didn't know nothing about church. And he said, you're dressed like a harlot. That's immaterial. What is material is that she be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ who died for her. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I could do a better job of what these verses mean. Amen. But I can be right, but I can be still wrong. Look at verse 16. Let not your good be evil spoken of. I remember one time in the boys' dorm, there's a fellow monitor there, and you're supposed to give black marks if the guys are in violation. I mean, he'd catch the guys doing something wrong, and as he's putting the black mark down, he'd quote a scripture to him. He's right. I mean, the scripture was right on. I mean, the guy was out of his room when he shouldn't be.
Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
I mean, he was right, but he's still wrong. Let not your good be evil spoken of. If I'm right, then my attitude ought to be of one of love and concern and caring. I'm not just talking about love of the people, but love of the truth. Amen. If it's really okay for you to do it, why allow something about your spirit to make what you're doing a wrong? Amen. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. If you can do the thing and serve Christ in such a way that it doesn't take righteousness and peace and joy, then perhaps you are persuaded. That's the thing. Can you go ahead and do that thing and keep your righteousness before God and keep your joy and peace? It may be something you take on. That's fine. That's great. If you feel it's a necessity for you to do it. But can you do that thing and maintain the righteousness and the peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost? I'm not just trying to convince others that my way is right and compel them to live my way. Amen. I am trying to encourage others to live their life in the power of the Spirit. And I too live my life in the power of the Spirit. And when we're both living in the power of the Spirit, the debate is gone. The criticism's gone. But the righteousness and the peace and the joy is there. Because together, what we desire more than anything is to live this life under the power of the Holy Ghost. The life that attracts the lost, the life that attracts the backslider, is a life that's lived in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then, by not hindering, but by encouraging. And I'm just about done, but oh, these things are important. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. I'm not here to tear down my brother. I'm here to edify him, build him up. I may feel he's wrong, but I'm not going to come and criticize and tear him down. I may show him from the Word of God, but the whole time I'm showing him from the Word of God, it's not to say, I'm right and you're wrong. I'm showing him from the Word of God, and he can sense from my spirit that I am there to encourage him and build him up and strengthen him. Amen. Verse 20, for meat destroyeth not the Word of God. All things are indeed pure. And that meant all things in this context. I mean, sin is sin. It's talking about questionable things. Like we could say a computer today. A computer in itself is not evil. It's what you do with it, how you use it. Amen. Meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man to eateth with offense. That meant I'm doing it to rub it into my brother's face. I'm doing it to show him I can do it and still be a Christian. He says that attitude is wrong.
Whatever you do, however you live it, whatever you say, you should do it with one desire, and that's to edify your brother. Verse 21, it's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Amen. I may be right, but the question isn't, am I right? The question is, will this help or hurt my brother? Will this encourage my brother to live for God? Or will it confuse him and cause him to stumble and to lose out? Oh, hallelujah. How many believes that we'd start thinking about our brother? We could have a revival like we've never seen. And then last of all, we can have it by being not unhappy, but consistent with our believing. Look at verse 22. Has thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. You know what that says? Now again, I've qualified this 100 times already, and you're tired of hearing it. But I want there to be no misunderstanding. We're not talking about the essentials, declared principles of God's Word. We're talking about issues where there is different perspectives and looking at things. If that is your faith, here's the key. Have it to thyself before God. Now, this is different than every man just to decide what's right in his own eyes. It doesn't say every man decide what's right in his own. Have it to yourself. Make sure it's a personal thing, but it's before God. You can say, this is what I believe. With God listening, you say, this is what I believe. It's before God. It's persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, let's go on a little bit here. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Even there's been things that are wrong, and they're going to be wrong until I can see from the Word of God that they're not wrong. But sometimes folks are doing things, they feel like God has spoken to their heart that they're wrong, and they go ahead and do them, and they feel miserable about it. And so what Paul is saying is, behave as you believe. What you believe, you need to be consistent in doing what you believe. The important thing in my serving God is, what can I do and do it that would conform to what I think God has spoken to my heart? I'm going to serve God, amen, the way I feel like he's speaking to me to serve him. And if everybody's doing that, we're going to make it. I started bringing a toothbrush with me today. Toothbrush is a good thing. How many thinks a toothbrush is a good thing? Was that the bell that I'm done? I am just about done. Give me the second bell. I'm telling you, I got a toothbrush over there, and it does a good job brushing my teeth. But I should never expect you to use my toothbrush. But get your own. How many would have volunteered to use my toothbrush today? Anyone here? My wife wouldn't. She'd say the mood's wrong. Amen. Germy, isn't it? Germy. I'm telling you, you may not use my toothbrush, but you need one of your own. The important thing is, it's to myself before God, and then I need to be consistent with what I believe. If God has spoken it to my heart, I'm never going to have the joy and peace till I'm living to what he has spoken to my heart. Can you say amen? Would you come, music? Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. They're not living consistent to what they said God would have them live. Oh, I'm talking about a way that we can have peace and joy and righteousness by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many wants that Christian experience? I'm telling you, when I'm letting the Holy Ghost move in my life, he uses the Word, he uses the Sunday school teacher, he uses the preacher. But when I'm letting the Holy Ghost move in my life, there's going to come a righteousness and a joy and a peace, all three together. Amen. Student last week, he came in and he looked pretty happy. And I said, what are you so happy about? He said, we found my mom's keys. I said, oh yeah, what happened?
I said, where'd you find him? He said, I found him in the trash. He said, we were tearing up the house looking for him, going to be late to school. Tearing up the house looking for keys. And Mom was upstairs, and all of a sudden she remembered something she had thrown away the night before, and she yelled to me, look in the trash! He said, I looked in the trash and I found the keys. Found them. Oh, what a wonderful thing was. He found something that was so necessary. I'm not talking about looking in the trash, God forbid. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks that have lost righteousness in their life. And they have lost joy. And they have lost peace. But it's like those keys were all together on a ring. Hallelujah. If you'd begin to seek God and open up your heart, you'd find all three of those things on the same ring of the moving of the Holy Ghost. You'd find the joy again. You'd find the peace. And you'd find the righteousness of heart. Hallelujah. I believe there'd be revival like we've never seen if folks would come forward this morning. And some would be saying, I've lost the joy. Others would be saying, I've lost the peace, either my harmony with God or my harmony with my fellow man. And others would say, I've lost the righteousness I once had. I used to be so sensitive to sin and what I watched and what I listened to and what I said. I've lost the righteousness. Oh, what a revival that we would have if folks would begin to say, I've lost it. Oh, but if God would be merciful to me, I'm going to seek it till I find it. And I'm going to tell you where you're going to find it. You're going to find it in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You're going to find it in saying yes to the Holy Spirit. You're going to find it in saying yes to the moving of the Spirit in your life. Would you stand across the building, and I wish you'd join me and lift your hands and say, oh Father, forever I want to live this life with righteousness and joy and peace of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 I think there's even a song that says, I lost my joy. I lost my joy. Oh, what a sad thing. Hallelujah. 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 I know these things have been difficult verses. They're things we got to think about, pray about, compare with other scriptures. But I think through it all, if we would listen, I think we'd hear the Spirit saying, there's something I have for you. This isn't just about a religion and rituals and all this other stuff. But I have something for you. I've got true joy. I've got true peace. And I've got a righteousness before God. It's not your own righteousness, which is his filthy rags, but it's the righteousness of my Son Jesus, where you can live in my holiness and you can live in my righteousness. And in there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. How many would like to come right now and say, I want that joy, peace, and righteousness forever in my Christian experience? Would you come and begin to fill the altars and say, Holy Spirit, move one more time in my soul. I want righteousness. I want peace. I want joy. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
I present myself to be offered up.
Hallelujah.
As a sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Holy and acceptable to.
Oh, let's ask the Holy Spirit to work in our lives this morning. I'm not saying we're not. I'm not saying you haven't been. But could you just do that this morning? Say, Holy Spirit, I want my walk with Christ to be the product of your Spirit moving in me. Oh, Holy Spirit, move in my heart. Holy Spirit, give me true righteousness, true peace, true joy. That's the kingdom of God. We're bowing our knees to the King, and we're asking for true righteousness, true joy, true peace, by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Up as a sacrifice.
Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's lose this world.
Hallelujah.
To win this world. Let my life.
On this Sunday morning, right where you're praying, let the Holy Ghost begin to move in your heart. He's liberating. He'll liberate you to serve God. He'll give you the liberty where you can live for God in righteousness. You can live for God in joy. You can live for God in peace. Oh, hallelujah.
No longer I, Lord, but thee.
Oh, listen to the song, Jesus, be Jesus in me. Listen to it, Jesus, be Jesus.
Resurrection power.
Resurrection power.
Please fill me.
Oh, fill me this
power. Jesus, be Jesus in me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus, be Jesus in me.
Your power of your spirit working in me.
Resurrection power, please fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in.